All right, what's going on, everybody? Welcome on into the Auburn Daily Show. Lance Dahl hanging out here with you on this beautiful Monday afternoon in Auburn, Alabama. It's a big one for the Tigers today as they begin spring practice under new head coach Hugh Freeze. On today's episode of the Auburn Daily Show, I want to go through our projected depth chart for the Auburn Tigers as they make their way through spring practice. Also, want to take a dive into an article that I quite literally just wrote about half an hour ago, talking about every possible outcome for the Auburn Tigers as they make their way closer towards the NCAA tournament. So we're going to go through every single outcome possible through every single game up to the SEC championship game in the tournament here in just a couple of weeks. Want to remind everybody that we are on auburndaily.com. All of our written work is over there in case you want to go check that out. We're also on socials at the Auburn Daily on Twitter. You can also search us up on Facebook. Just search up Auburn Daily and we'll pop up there. So let's go ahead and get into it. Auburn football spring practice projected depth chart. You can find this article again over at auburndaily.com. Like I mentioned, new day for the Auburn Tigers as they start spring practice. 30-plus new faces on the team whenever you look at the additions through the transfer portal and through this recruiting class. So offense, I think that this is pretty straightforward. When you look at quarterback, Robbie Ashford, I think, is number one. TJ Finley, number two. Holden Gariner, number three. Until Auburn adds a transfer portal quarterback, and we don't know if they're going to do that or not, this is simply the roster. This is what your quarterback room looks like. You can take it, and you can run with it. You can try and develop it, or you can melt down like some of the fan base has already over the fact that this is the situation. I think a lot of excitement has to go with the pairing of Hugh Freeze, Philip Montgomery, and Robbie Ashford. We actually wrote about that recently, talking about how maybe it's one of the more intriguing offensive trios in this league. Robbie Ashford, I think, has a lot of upside. Watching him progress through spring practice and just kind of learning the offense is going to be interesting. And I think that's where we are today with this quarterback room and with this offense as a whole. It's just learning. I think that that's what this spring is going to be. It's the install. It's the preparation for what could be a really interesting fall camp for the Tigers. I think also you have to look at that to an extent on the defensive side of the ball. But for this offense, a lot of this is going to be, I think, change of pace for the Tigers after having a couple of years with Brian Harsin and the way that he ran things. At running back, Jarquez Hunter is the starter. I believe he's going to be the one that's getting the nod there for the Tigers. That's not much of a surprise, not much of a revelation at all. Behind him, though, the Tigers have some options. They've got Brian Batty, the South Florida transfer. They've got Damari Alston, the sophomore. They've got Sean Jackson as well, buried in the depth chart there. Jeremiah Cobb, if I'm not mistaken, is going to be here in the summer. So he would be on this depth chart as well. Jarquez Hunter, number one. Brian Batty from USF at number two. Damari Alston at number three. Sean Jackson at number four. If I had to place Cobb somewhere, I would place him right there on that third string with Damari Alston. I think that's a comfortable spot for him. At wide receiver, you've got three different positions here. You've got your X and your Z receivers, and then you've got your H or your slot receiver. At your X receiver, I think that's Camden Brown starting there as a sophomore. He's now switched his number over to number four, by the way, for those of you that missed that. Nick Mardner, the transfer from Cincinnati, he is going to, I believe, be backing up Camden Brown at the X receiver spot. Who knows? Mardner may end up starting at that spot as well. Definitely a possibility. At the H receiver spot or the slot receiver spot, Javarius Johnson, I think, is going to be able to hold things down here. He was the most productive receiver on Auburn's roster a season ago. What he does for an encore, I think, will be very interesting. Landon King, I think, is backing him up. Very different from Javarius Johnson in terms of physical dimensions and what he's able to bring to the team, but I think King slots in here, no pun intended, pretty well. Tarvarish Dawson and Jay Fair, I have both tied at the number three spot at that H receiver position. And then at the Z receiver spot, I have Coy Moore starting and Malcolm Johnson Jr. behind him. At Rivaldo Fairweather is the starting tight end. Possibly you may see Luke Deal as the guy here. If I'm not mistaken, Auburn's probably going to focus on blocking and those things first before figuring out how to utilize these guys as pass catchers at the tight end spot. I know that Hugh Freeze has had a lot of success using these jumbo-type receivers in the past. Does Fairweather line up as tight end a bunch for Auburn this season? Probably not necessarily going to fit his role whenever you think of what he's going to be doing for this offense. Luke Deal, Tyler Fromm, Michael Riley Ducker, Brandon Frazier. I think that's kind of maybe the pegging order there. And then we get into the offensive line, And I'm just going to be straightforward with you. I don't think we truly know what this rotation is going to look like until the Tigers start throwing things out there on A-Day and they start kind of prepping for, you know, what could be the starting rotation later in the fall. Dylan Wade, I have at left tackle. He could end up being at left guard. And Izavion Miller, who is currently listed as the backup in my spring depth chart, he could end up being the starter at left tackle, and Wade could slide in to left guard. At left tackle, though, again, it's Wade, Miller, and then Colby Smith, the sophomore. At left guard, I've got Cam Stutz, the senior. Not too excited about the interior of this line when you look at the guard positions, but I do think Stutz does provide a lot of experience there. Again, you could see Wade slide inside, and you could see Miller starting on the outside. That's definitely a possibility. Connor Liu could also get some work at the left guard spot as a freshman. Jeremiah Wright could also get some time there as well, depending on rotations. Again, what this coaching staff wants to do. There's a lot of mixing and matching that could end up happening. At the center position, though, I think it's pretty straightforward. Avery Jones, a transfer from East Carolina, he's going to get the nod here. Tate Johnson backing him up. Connor Liu backing him up at the center spot at right guard. I've got Jeremiah Wright starting. Clay Whedon and EJ Harris backing him up at that right guard spot. And then at right tackle, Gunnar Britton could end up again. He could be switching to that left side. He could be left tackle. Wade could be right tackle. Wade could be left guard. Again, lots of different things Auburn could do with this offensive line. Izavion Miller, I also have backing Britton up at right tackle. And then Gardner Langlow, the sophomore there at right tackle as well. So that's the entire offense. If you got any comments on that, got any thoughts on where different players will play, if you agree, disagree, leave it in the YouTube comments below. Or if you're listening on podcast, you're not watching on YouTube, you can hit us on Twitter at the Auburn Daily. Defense, I think this is also another really interesting spot for Auburn as far as developmentally what they're going to be doing in this front seven. They brought a lot of players in. There's a lot of mixing and matching that can happen, I think, outside of the starters. So let's get into that. Nose tackle, Jason Jones. I think it's going to be him rocking it out at nose tackle to start for the Tigers. Lawrence Johnson, the Purdue transfer, I've got him backing Jones up. At defensive tackle, not nose tackle, DT, we've got 97 Justin Rogers, the transfer from Kentucky, former five-star, big-time addition for the program. I think it's going to be Jason Jones, Justin Rogers, and then Marcus Harris on this starting defensive line. Behind Justin Rogers on defensive tackle, I've got Messiah Nasili-Kite, the transfer from Maryland, Zykevious Walker as that third string at DT, and then defensive line again, Marcus Harris as the starter, Jeffrey Emba as the backup, and then Stephen Johnson and Wilkie Denod at the backup, that third string spot there on the D-line. Jack is the new position that was previously called edge for the Tigers. Elijah McAllister, I think, is going to get the nod here. It could be Dylan Brooks. It could be Keldrick Falk. Auburn's not particularly deep here. Brenton Williams, I think, could also see time rotating in. Regardless, though, it's going to be one of the three, I think, of McAllister, Falk, or Brooks. It's just a matter of how these guys progress, I think, through the spring and through fall. I think that this is something that is not officially decided just yet for the Auburn Tigers. At linebacker, this is also something that is just a personal thing for me. This is the way that I've decided to line these guys up. It may be off. There's obviously the inside and the outside linebackers. There's the Mike and the Will linebackers. But the rotation here, I think, may be similar, again, in terms of just the players that you're seeing at the top and the bottom. Austin Keys, the transfer from Ole Miss, I have as one of our starting as one of our starting linebackers. Eugene Asante, who is back from injury, I think he, Wesley Steiner, and Robert Woodyard will be in the mix for some backup role behind Austin Keys, I think. We'll just have to see. DeMario Toland is the other linebacker I have starting for the Tigers. He is a transfer from LSU. Cam Riley may end up getting the starting spot. Riley may end up starting and Toland may be the backup. I just really like the thought of Toland coming in and taking over a spot. I think he's capable of it. Wesley Steiner and Robert Woodyard also, again, backing up the linebacker spot here. And then at cornerback, probably the deepest unit on this entire team, DJ James, Jalen Simpson, Nehemiah Pritchett, JD Rim, and then as that third string, Kayan Lee and Austin Osberry, I think, are two guys that are going to be in the rotation late, but are going to be in the rotation nonetheless. Again, James and Pritchett are your starters. Simpson and Rim are your backups. And then Jalen Simpson, I think, is going to end up being that starter at safety. Or Donovan Kaufman. By the way, Kaufman's changed his number from number 1 to number 5, in case you missed that. I think it is Simp, though, that's going to be getting that starting spot at safety. Caden Bridges, Zion Puckett are there at the 2 spot at safety. Marquise Gilbert and Craig McDonald, I think, are going to be backing those guys up as well. Nickelback, nickel's going to be Donovan Kaufman or Keontae Scott. It's just all package dependent on what the Tigers want to do defensively. And then Caleb Wooden, the backup nickel. Special teams, pretty straightforward. Alex McPherson taking over as redshirt freshman. He's going to be kicking for the Tigers with 6 of 7 on field goals late last year. Evan McGuire backing him up. Oscar Chapman back for his 4th season as an Auburn Tiger punting. Daniel Perez, a redshirt freshman, backing him up. And the kick returner, Brian Batty for South Florida, was one of the best kick returners in the nation, at least over the past couple of seasons. He's going to be returning kicks for the Tigers this year. And then Jarquez Hunter in the backfield as well there for him. Damari Alston could potentially see time at kick returner as well. Punt returner, it's what we saw last year. Javaris Johnson, Keontae Scott, not much else there. And then at long snapper, yes, we included long snapper here. They are players too. Jacob Quattlebaum and then Kyle Vaccarella are going to be the 2 long snappers, we believe, for the Auburn Tigers. That's our entire depth chart, the entire spring practice projected depth chart. If you missed any of that, you can check it out over at auburndaily.com. It's one of the featured articles right now on our website. I want to dive into what's probably going to be a fun topic for me. This is just, I love diving into things like this. Auburn basketball and where they land in the NCAA tournament, depending on how their final up to 6 games go, potentially if they make it to the SEC title game. Before we get to that, though, I want to tell you guys about our friends over at Prize Picks. This season, Auburn Daily has partnered with Prize Picks to bring some fun and variety to the picks for 2023. Prize Picks is a free app that allows you to choose any 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 players from any sport in your wagers. You can predict the over-under for the next game, and you can win big prizes if they do well. They also have flex options, where you can still get paid on winning only 3 of 5 or 2 of 3 picks. You can have multiple sports in the same parlay as well. Best of all, you can use promo code Auburn, A-U-B-U-R-N, to receive double on your first deposit, up to $100. Again, that's promo code Auburn for double on your first deposit. Thank you so much to Prize Picks for sponsoring today's episode. All right, this is probably going to be one of my favorite segments that we've done this year. Every possible outcome for Auburn basketball before the NCAA tournament. This is going to be me reading a lot of numbers, so brace yourself. As you may know, Auburn basketball is currently somewhat on the NCAA tournament bubble. If they continue to lose the way that they have, which they've lost 7 of their last 10 games, if they continue to kind of slide here, they're going to end up being in an uncomfortable spot come Selection Sunday. So, we asked the question, what happens if Auburn loses their final 2 games of the regular season? Where do they find themselves? What happens if they win 1 game? What happens if they win a couple and they end up going to the SEC tournament and actually doing some damage? Well, Bart Torvik, I don't know if you know who he is, he's a college basketball analyst, has a website, phenomenal website, barttorvik.com, just straight up go check it out. A lot of college basketball numbers, a lot of analytics, very similar to KenPom, if you've heard us talk about that on this show before. TeamCast is a setting on his website where you can go to each individual team and you can adjust their record to see where they project out in the postseason. And obviously, because we only have 2 regular season games left for the Tigers, this is a phenomenal time to use the TeamCast to get a pretty accurate idea of where Auburn is going to fall, at least according to the analytics, if they do certain things with their final 6 games. So, brace yourself. Here comes a lot of numbers for you. Percentage chances, essentially. We're going to go through a lot of different scenarios. If Auburn wins out, meaning they beat Alabama, they beat Tennessee, and they run the gamut in the SEC tournament, they win the SEC tournament title. Obviously, they get an auto bid. They have a 98.9% chance of getting in, according to Bart Torvik, as a number 5 seed. So they would finish 24-10 and make the tournament as a 5 seed. Pretty straightforward if Auburn wins out. If Auburn goes 2-0, now we're just focusing on the regular season. If Auburn goes 2-0, meaning they beat Alabama and Tennessee, at that point, they would have a 97.5% chance of getting in, and they would be a sixth seed. So, again, if the Tigers win their final two games before the SEC tournament, they would be favored to get in the tournament as a sixth seed. If Auburn goes 1-1 in their final two regular season games, and they beat Alabama and lose to Tennessee, they've got a 91.9% chance of getting in the tournament as an 8 seed. Meaning if Auburn splits, 8 seed, probably going to be a high 8 seed at that point. If you'll notice here, we're going through a lot of these scenarios, and most of them end up with Auburn having a very good chance, or at least a good chance, of getting into March Madness. At this point in the season, things may seem dire, but the Tigers are still probably going to get in. And I'll show you in a second. If Auburn goes 1-1 and they beat Tennessee and lose to Bama, then they have a 90.4% chance of getting in, and they're an 8 seed. So a little bit smaller of a chance, just barely by about a percent and a half, but they still end up being an 8 seed regardless of whether or not they go 1-1 and they beat Bama or Tennessee. If Auburn loses their last two games of the regular season, at that point, they would have a 62.8% chance of getting in the tournament. It would drop from 90% if you beat just one of these two teams to 62.8. Even if they lose out and they go 0-3, meaning they lose their two games and they lose their first round of the SEC tournament, Auburn still has a 50.7% chance of getting in as one of the last four in as an 11 seed. 0-3 still have a 50-50 shot of making the postseason. If Auburn goes 1-3 and they beat Alabama or Tennessee, but they lose their first game of the SEC tournament, they have an 83.9% chance of getting in the field as a 10 seed. Auburn can finish 1-3 here, and they're fine. They're making it as a 10 seed. If they go 1-3 and they lose to Bama and UT, and they lose in the SEC tournament quarterfinals, so they lose to Bama, lose to Tennessee, win a game in the SEC tournament, then lose in the next round, they still have a 69.7% chance of getting in as an 11 seed. If Auburn goes 2-1, meaning they beat both Alabama and Tennessee but lose in the first round of the SEC tournament, they have a 97% chance of getting in the field as a 7 seed. Again, most of these, outside of Auburn losing out, end up with Auburn having a 70% chance or better of getting into the postseason. Essentially, again, Auburn's going to get in. It's just a matter of how high can they climb, which is a 5 seed, but we're trying to be realistic here. If Auburn goes 2-2, meaning they beat Bama and Tennessee, but they lose in the SEC tournament's quarterfinals, 93.1% chance, 8 seed. A loss in the quarterfinals would bump Auburn down from a 7 seed to an 8. If Auburn goes 3-2, meaning they beat Alabama or Tennessee, and then they lose in the SEC tournament semifinals, so they're one of the final four teams in the SEC tournament, they get a 96.9% chance of getting into the postseason as a 7 seed. So getting to the quarterfinals overall would be really nice for Auburn, especially if they're able to beat one of the Alabama or the Tennessee or matchups, one of those matchups. If Auburn goes 4-2, meaning they beat Alabama or Tennessee and they lose in the SEC championship game, they have a 97.7% chance of getting in as a 6 seed. So as you can see, one win can significantly change the outcome of where Auburn's draw is. So if they end up going 3-3, 4-2, something like that, and we'll get to the 3-3 in scenario in a second, they're going to be a 6 or a 7. If they can get off that 7 seed line, miraculously at this point, that would be huge, because Auburn in the second round would then most likely be facing a 3 seed if they were to advance, which is what you want, instead of one of these 1 or 2s. If Auburn goes 4-2, they lose to both Alabama and Tennessee, but they win the SEC tournament, this is probably one of the most unlikely scenarios, 97.5% chance of getting in as a 6th seed. So notice here, if Auburn loses their last two to Bama and Tennessee, and they win the tournament, they have a 0.2% chance less of getting into the tournament as opposed to if they just win one of these games and then lose in the SEC title game. It's two different versions of 4-2, and as it turns out, this regular season game against Bama or Tennessee is a little bit more valuable. It's all about playing teams either on the road or at home as opposed to the neutral site, if I'm not mistaken. That's kind of the way that these things work out. If Auburn goes 3-3 and they lose to both Alabama and Tennessee, they have a 94.4% chance of getting in as an 8 seed if they lose in the SEC title game. So you lose your last two, then you go on a run, then you lose a third in the title game. You get an 8 seed. If Auburn goes 2-3, doesn't really matter. They're still going to be an 8 seed. They got a 90% chance of getting in. That's every single possible scenario for Auburn's final six games. Take a breath. And we now just be real. Let's be realistic for a second. Auburn, I think, has a legitimate shot of beating Tennessee. I probably wouldn't watch the Alabama game if I were a fan of Auburn. Probably wouldn't watch that this Wednesday. Legitimate shot of beating Tennessee at home, though. If you split 1-1, which is where I'm leaning right now, I think you win a game in the SEC tournament. I think you match up in that second round of the tournament. You get the single game bye. You end up facing a team like, let's say, Ole Miss or Georgia. I think that you probably win that game and you advance, and you likely split 2-2. I think Auburn at this point is likely going to go 2-2, which, again, according to Bart Torvik, Auburn would be an 8 seed at that point. There's probably not a whole lot that's going to push Auburn off of this 8 seed line. That's just the situation that we're in. So there you have it. Those are all the scenarios. I think that's the most realistic one. If you have any thoughts on how Auburn's going to finish this season, if you think they're going to lose out, you think they're going to win out, whatever you think is going to happen, you can leave that in the YouTube comments below or hit us on the socials at The Auburn Daily. And that's going to do it for today's episode of The Auburn Daily Show. Again, you can follow us on Twitter at The Auburn Daily. Search us up on Facebook as well. Read all of our written work over at auburndaily.com. And we'll be back tomorrow with another episode of The Auburn Daily Show. Hope you guys have a great rest of your day. And God bless.